Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Welcome to the How to Kill an Hour Hour, the half-hour edition brought to you by Southside Medical Center, where your health is their primary care. And now, without further ado, here's your host for the next 30 minutes, the one, the only, the Ed Man.
Oh, yeah. Welcome once again to the How to Kill an Hour radio show. I'm your host, the man with a plan, the Ed Man, here to give you some of the news for the past week. And I hope everybody out there is staying dry. We have some of what they call isolated thunderstorms out there. And, you know, you go outside, you look in one direction, it's completely sunny. You look in the other direction, it's dark. It looks terrible. And they say that if you don't like the weather in Florida, you just wait half an hour and then it'll change into something that maybe you like better. And that's the truth, especially here in Jacksonville. Kids, are you sick of hearing the Kamala Harris clips? Because I'll tell you what, I have heard it this entire week. And I am so sorry if you have too, because I'm going to play it a little bit more, but not just the one that they've been repeating, but an earlier one also that's going to give you some insight, I think, into her thinking. And so this is from NBC, and the vice president is being interviewed by Lester Holt, who is not, from what I've seen, an aggressive questioner. He seems to be very passive and, you know, just lobbing softballs out there. And he's asking her questions about the so-called border crisis, right? You know, we keep having these crises at the border, and this is one of them. And so the administration is in a little bit of hot water because, you know, when Trump became president, the border crisis seemed to just evaporate. And when Joe Biden was eliminated, they eliminated a lot of the safeguards that were supposed to be keeping the problem in check. And if you remember, he famously said, you know, come on over, flood the border. And back then, you know, that was very good for him politically, I think, among the far leftists. But right now, because the press is making such a big to-do about the border crisis, he doesn't look so good after saying those words. So no matter how you feel about the border and the way that it should be handled, what I want you to listen to is the way that the politicians in power, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, how they handle it. So here's the first question from Lester Holt about why she hasn't visited the border, because Kamala is in charge now of this border situation. Joe Biden appointed it to her and said so on air. So the entire world is looking to her to solve this problem. And the conservative speakers are having a field day because she still hasn't visited the border. And they're saying that, well, you got to go down there and speak to the people there because they're the ones who are going to give you the situation, and because they're actually physically there. And for some reason, they've resisted this. So here's the question and how she handles it.
It has come up, and you heard it here, and you'll hear it again, I'm sure. It's why not visit the border? Why not see what Americans are seeing in this crisis?
Well, we are going to the border. We have to deal with what's happening at the border. There's no question about that. That's not a debatable point. But we have to understand that there's a reason people are arriving at our border and ask, what is that reason? And then identify the problem so we can fix it.
What do you tell a Guatemalan?
Okay, so the reason I let the audio play into his next question is because I wanted you to hear that I did not edit her answer at all. That was her actual answer. Now, I did hear an artifact which sounded to me like they and NBC, for some reason, cut the rest of her answer. So I'm interested to know what else she said, because she says something interesting here, and she said it over and over again. In fact, there's a compilation of her just saying root causes, over and over again in all of her speeches that's addressing this border crisis. But I have never once heard them say what the root causes actually are. As a matter of fact, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has come out and criticized them for not stating the root causes. Now, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez says that the problem that the reason why the Guatemalans are coming over here is because we, the U.S., have made it so bad in their country. Now, the conservatives say that the reason that they're rushing over here is because Joe Biden's statement, and they've just rushed the borders. Now, since then, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have told them, don't come over. Although, interestingly, I do remember that in one of those interviews where they said that, the follow-up question was, well, what if they come over anyway? Are you going to let them in? And the answer was yes. So, again, that's not really helping their case that it's not their fault when they try to defend themselves against conservative commentators. All right. Anyway, you heard her answer to that. Now, Lester Holt actually brings this up a second time. And, you know, she must have been like, what is going on here? Why does he keep pressing me on this? I answered the question already with a non-answer. Could you please let me off? In fact, this time, instead of letting the whole clip play, I'm going to let his question play from that the first one, the one that we just heard. I'm going to let that play, and then let's hear what her actual answer is, her one-second actual answer before then she started going into her root causes spiel.
Has come up, and you heard it here, and you'll hear it again, I'm sure. It's why not visit the border? Why not see what Americans are seeing in this crisis?
Well, we are going to the border.
Okay, and then either she fumbled those words, or again, they messed with the audio and combined her answers or shortened her answers or whatever. So then it just devolved into nonsense. But when he asked, you know, when are you going to the border, her answer was, when he said, why don't you go to the border, her answer was, We are. So she says we are, and that's her answer. Now keep that in mind when you hear her answer the question the second time.
We put a button.
Okay.
Do you have any plans to visit the border?
I'm here in Guatemala today. At some point, you know, we are going to the border. We've been to the border. So this whole thing about the border, we've been to the border.
You haven't.
Now, do you see how the answer changes? She went from we're going to the border to we've been to the border. And so this whole thing about the border, we've been to the border. Now, if Lester Holt had let it end there, the American public would have had the idea that this is all for nothing. This whole commotion, it's all for nothing. They've been to the border. So why are we harassing her for not having gone to the border? They've been there. But then Lester Holt throws a spanner into the works. He puts a stick in her bicycle spokes and calls her out mid-sentence. I couldn't believe it, but it's fantastic. You know, a lot of these reporters do have the ability to fight back. If you remember the Wolf Blitzer interview with Nancy Pelosi, oh my God, he made her look so bad. So it's almost like they get the permission, or maybe they just get so tired of the doublespeak that their true self comes out for a second and they go, I'm not going to let them walk over me like this. I don't know why they once in a while will kind of press back against the people that they shill for so often. But it's so interesting when it happens. And so I'm going to let that clip play again and listen to how he just exposes her. He did such a good job, although at the beginning he means to say, let me put a bow on it. He says, let me put a button on it. So that kind of didn't make sense. But here it is.
Quickly put a button.
Okay.
Do you have any plans to visit the border?
I'm here in Guatemala today. At some point, you know, we are going to the border. We've been to the border. So this whole thing about the border, we've been to the border. We've been to the border.
You haven't been to the border.
I haven't been to Europe, and I don't understand the point that you're making. I'm not discounting the importance of the border.
Well, I beg to differ. I think she is discounting the importance of the border or traveling to the border. Man, if you haven't seen that interview, you got to YouTube it. You got to look at her face when he says to her, "You haven't been to the border." She looks like somebody who's been caught with her hand in the cookie jar. It's so amazing. She knows she's been caught in trying to pull off a lie of omission, but it was on purpose. She did that on purpose. We have been to the border. You haven't been to the border. Her face looks stunned. I don't want to oversell it, but you know, for a politician who is, especially one who's risen so high, right? Vice president, You would think that they would be a little smoother than that. But hey, look, Hillary Clinton did the same thing, right? They asked her, did you wipe the server? She just looks stunned and she goes cross-eyed. She goes, what do you mean, like with a cloth? Same thing here. You haven't visited the border. Well, I haven't been to Europe. I don't understand the point. She understands the point. The point is that how can you be taking this seriously? How could you be owning up to your responsibilities if you won't even go and talk to the people that are there? How seriously do you take this? And then to immediately say right after that, well, I'm not discounting the importance of the border, meaning going to the border. She does know that that's what she was doing. Otherwise, why did she say it right away? Because she knows how that sounded, and she knows what she was trying to pull. And then the rest of that answer I didn't play. I'll play the rest of it here.
We are going to the border. We've been to the border. So this whole thing about the border, we've been to the border.
You haven't been to the border.
I haven't been to Europe. And I don't understand the point that you're making. I'm not discounting the importance of the border.
Well, I mentioned it because I know Republicans have certainly come at you on this, but Democratic Congressman Cuellar, as a border district, has said to you and the president, come. You need to see this.
Listen, I care about what's happening at the border. I'm in Guatemala because my focus is dealing with the root causes of migration. There may be some who think that that is not important, but it is my firm belief that if we care about what's happening at the border, we better care about the root causes and address them. And so that's what I'm doing.
It's not the only time.
I love that straw man that she throws in at the end. There may be some who don't care about the root causes, but it's important to me. I care. I care about the root causes. Yeah. Oh, and that's not the only reporter that she had some trouble with. There was a Univision reporter that she was talking to. And here's how she dealt with that. I'll play that clip. This is fun also.
I've said I'm going to go to the border. And
when are you going to the border, Vice President?
The administration has asked... I'm not finished.
Ah, that was fun. We got a nice little time delay there at the end. Yeah, I mean, this is the state of politics now. This is where we're at. I remember when I was a kid and I was watching politicians on TV, and they seemed like such serious people to me. They seemed grown up, right? And now I watch these guys, and they seem like such clowns. So I don't know if I became an adult and the politicians stayed children, or if the quality of politicians nowadays is just worse. Now, you know, they're worse because I look at old clips and you see people are making actual, you know, points, right, and speeches, and they're saying things that are solid and grafted in reality. And nowadays they're just throwing around these barbs, these sentiments that, you know, are not solid in any way. What kind of answer is that? I haven't been to Europe. Well, first of all, you probably should have been to Europe anyway. You know, if you plan on being a great statesman. But even if you haven't, why are you bringing it up now? Why are you deflecting from this question? I don't even understand why they're doing that. If they don't see the importance of going down to the border, then just say that. Just say, look, I care about it, but I've interviewed people over Messenger and over WhatsApp or Zoom or, you know, whatever they use to connect somebody by remote, yeah? And over live feeds. Just say, I've talked to them. I don't need to go down there. I can talk. I don't need to physically be there. You can put cameras on there. I've talked to the people that work there. I know what's going on. Now, whether you accept that as an answer or not, that's a much better answer than I haven't been to Europe either. If you don't want to go down there, say I'm living in the modern age, okay? I don't have to physically go to every single place that there's a problem at, even if I'm in charge of it. Now, again, you can argue with that answer, but just say it. Why don't they want to admit the reason that they're not visiting the border? I mean, is it too inconvenient politically? They are taking such a shellacking on this, you'd figure they would just cave and say, come on, we're sending you down to the border. Just go there, land the plane, and then come back so you can just technically say that you were there. I mean, that's what they do anyway, right? I'm in Guatemala. Yeah, I'm sure she's really getting into Guatemalan culture and finding out the root causes of what's going on down there. I'm sure like she's like the Scooby-Doo detectives, right? She's just looking in every crevice. You know, she's got people are chasing her and stuff because she's just trying to crack the case so hard of the root causes of why we have immigrants fleeing from Guatemala into America. I mean, why do we put up with this as a people? Why do we put up with this? Is it possible that the Biden administration is seeing Kamala as being politically expendable and they're just putting her into this tough position? I mean, maybe we don't know behind the scenes. What if behind the scenes she's like secretly begging to go down to the border, right? She's like, please, Joe, I want to go to the border so badly. These people down there, I have to speak to them and figure out what's going on. I need to know what's going on at the border. I can't do this job that you assigned to me. And he's like, no, Kamala, we can't send you down there. There's no point to it. And then she's got to like go on these shows and defend herself and explain why she hasn't been to the border yet. She can't toss him under the bus, right? She'll get in trouble. And she's really just fighting for us, right? She's fighting for the people, but the mean old Biden administration won't let that happen. He remembers when she called him out for being racist, and now he will never forgive her. And so he says, "Oh, there's a border crisis. I'm going to blame it on Kamala." And then when it's all over, he'll be like, "Yeah, well, I thought you could handle it, but you know, I guess not." She's just left holding the bag. Yeah, man, I don't understand. I don't understand why she just doesn't take off. Just charter a plane and get down there, and then you can say that you were there, and you stop taking all this flack. And, you know, the Republicans are loving this. They're really hammering the administration on this point. It seems odd to me that they just don't take off. Are they being resistant because they're just that indomitable, right? They're like, oh, the pressure is on us to go visit the border. That means I'm not going to visit the border because I don't cave to pressure. And, you know, even CNN has been starting to criticize her and things. And, you know, is it the culture that makes people give answers like this that are not serious answers? And she just kind of laughs it off and things. I think sometimes that back when the media was, you know, the Axis media, when it was only the three networks and that was it, and they were in charge of everything. Well, you know, I saw Dan Rather had a course on journalism. I was like, oh, that'll be interesting. Let me see his course on journalism, because remember, Rather had to leave in disgrace, right? Because he had presented some phony George Bush documents. And I mean, and that's got to be embarrassing, right? It's so easy, I would think, to get like one of the Bushes, just these total warmongers, non-disclosing people. They hide everything from the public. In my opinion, very shady people, right? I would think it'd be so easy to get them, but instead he pulls up this meaningless bit of dirt on Bush and gets in trouble for it. So, but he said that when the news first started, it was done out of a feeling of public duty. Now, it's hard for me to imagine any of the networks doing something because they felt compelled to do it out of a sense of duty to country. But that's what he made it sound like. So he made it sound like that the news organizations did it. And maybe they did it as part of like a public relations thing. But then what started happening was that they figured out that there is some money to be made in news. And by the way, Dan Rather, I don't care for this dude. He was bragging in this course about how he's one of the reasons that we got involved in Afghanistan. So, I mean, he is, he's a big part of the problem, right? His do-gooding, right? His campaigning to bring to light the situation in Afghanistan has resulted in us going there, and we're still there to this day. And it's been so bad as far as the, I guess you could say, brainwashing of that it's good that we're in these other countries, that even liberals, I saw a liberal cartoon that was criticizing, political cartoon that was criticizing Joe Biden for getting out of Afghanistan. But if you remember, as reported on this show a couple of weeks back, he stated that the contractors here will actually remain in Afghanistan. So I feel that, like, even though the military presence there is reduced, that the money getting presence there has not been reduced. And I have a feeling that we're going to be mucking around down there for quite some time. But back to my original point on this, which is that if the news organizations figure it out, okay, and this is what happened according to Dan Rather, the news organizations figure it out that they can make money from the news. And so they kept getting kind of more and more ratings hungry. And so now is you have the present state of what's going on in the media, which is that they're trying to get ratings and get money from so-called news. And so that, of course, is going to lend itself to doing things like having anonymous sources where you can just say any crazy thing that you want to say. And I think another big part of this is that in public opinion, now that the three networks aren't the only ones there, they're competing for eyeballs against everybody else. I think that that's another big factor. And another factor is that now that everybody has a voice, so anybody can start a YouTube channel, anybody can make remarks on Twitter. And a lot of times those remarks from these anonymous people get published. So now these voices that were once very kind of minor, off to the side voices are now being heard. And it's also more expensive because there's a smaller piece of the pie now for all these news organizations. And so they're hiring kind of children, right? They're hiring these interns that are taking their beliefs that they learned from college. And you've heard about how terrible a lot of the teaching in these colleges are. So now they're all coming in and they're getting influenced by the as they call the Twitterati, right? And they're actually having now positions of power where they're feeding the news to these channels. And I think that this is all like a perfect storm of just getting bad news. And then you take on top of that the fact that YouTube is which is far and away, right, the biggest video platform. I think the last I heard, they're not only the biggest video platform, but they're the second largest search platform behind Google, and they're both owned by the same company, right, the Alphabet company. And so now they're actually putting a priority on network news, CBS, NBC, all these guys, CNN, and making them the priority. So if you have a topic that you want to research, and for instance, if you want to see what life is really like in some of these countries, instead of giving you your instead of serving up results showing the creators that are actually there on the ground, these smaller creators, which is what the platform originally was for, it's called YouTube. Instead, they're giving you these big mainstream guys that are suppressing the stories of the smaller people, and then they're smearing them. They're saying that they're conspiracy theorists and, you know, all these terrible things about them to make them look bad, when they're the ones that are giving out the kind of the state-sponsored story. And oftentimes that is, I mean, I guess you could call it a conspiracy theory, but oftentimes that is not the reality of what's happening. And, you know, I don't have time to go over it. Maybe next week on the show, but I have a list of the things that were originally so-called conspiracy theories and that ended up actually being true. And, you know, every week on the show I say, you know, just because it's a conspiracy theory doesn't mean that it's not real, right? Doesn't mean that it isn't actually happening. And so it's funny when you look at all the things that back then you were so maybe harassed or felt harassed, or people, you know, said that you were crazy and spouting out conspiracy theories, all these things that turned out to be true. And because these smaller creators are now kind of put on the wayside, they're less able to get their thoughts and their views across. And you've got these mainstream views that are oftentimes just kind of, you know, giving you the propaganda from the state, as it were, right? Okay, guys. Well, I got to go. Thanks for listening to me. I'm the Ed Man. This has been the How to Kill an Hour radio show. Stay dry out there. Have a good one, everybody. See ya.